All right, Kevin Barker. Well, another day, another lefty. And another lack of offense from the Toronto Blue Jays. Good lefty, mind you. 3-1. Blue Jays losing to the Atlanta Braves tonight. The first game of a three-game series at Truist Park. It is Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker alongside me. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590. 888-666-0590, *590. If texting is your bag, you can text us at 590-590. Max Fried, Kevin, 57 of 104 pitches were fastballs. I think it was, we were talking about this, I do believe it was the sixth inning where you started to see a steady diet of curveballs. But his plan of attack against this lineup was pretty clear right from the get-go, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, he sees the same thing that we've been seeing for quite some time of the issue that they're having against lefties and especially against the fastball, right? He established in early. That's what you're supposed to do, right? You speed them up, slow them down with breaking ball stuff. That's sort of what you do is – you know, you get him looking in there, you get him cheating. He throws hard enough. The four-seamer established, he was getting some called strikes in. You get the right-handed hitter opening up the front side. And then that's when you start seeing second time through, he's throwing a few more changeups away, the curveball away. You know, he'll tunnel the sinker in with the changeup. It's hard to tell the difference, just a mile per hour. I mean, you know, most of today was Fried. But I think it is, you know, to the point now where it's just, how do they figure out, Jeff, as a lineup, as an organization, start hammering fastballs again? Like, you know, look, being the bottom feeders of attacking and hitting for average against four-seamers, there's just no excuse for it. Like, whether that's an organizational thing, whether that's a talent thing, whether that's a coaching staff thing, I would think in the offseason, as soon as it's over, you got to figure that part of it out. Like, you got to get either a bunch of dudes in here who know how to hit a hitter, or you change the mindset. You know, either they're not looking for it or either they can't hit it. That, I think, is the thing you got to figure out as quick as possible and correct that. And then if you get good at that, then hopefully you're a better offense. So, I tip your hat to a good pitcher, but also I think this just, again, shines the light on just the issues lineup 1 through 9 has, and sometimes against a good pitcher, how easy it is to work through it with a fastball.
Yeah, you know, Buck and Dan both made this comment during the game, and I thought it was really telling. We're seeing now against teams like the Phillies and teams like the Braves, certainly the Phillies, who I don't think anybody would be surprised if they're in the World Series this year. Atlanta, they might have a harder road to hoe because of their injuries. But, Kevin, you really do see the difference in quality of lineups when you see the Jays play good teams. It's stark. And this team, this Braves team, again, they're not all healthy. By no stretch are they healthy. But you still got the sense that there was more threat to their lineup.
Yeah, you bring up the point. You've been bringing this up for months. If you look at the good teams in the lineup, how many guys in the Jays lineup would be in the lineup for the Braves, even with the injuries that they've got? One guy. Like, mm-hmm. It's consistently, every time we ask that question, it's always the same answer. It's one dude, the first baseman. And then there's everybody else. So, yeah, look, it's just not going to change until they actually get some dudes in here to mix around with Bo and Vladdy. Hopefully Bo comes back and figures out whatever Bo's going through and can be the hitter that we love and are used to seeing and having a good time and can go with the dude that's playing first. And, yeah, it's just, look, I've said this to you forever. I mean, how do we take this lineup, this organization serious until they can start hitting the fastball? Like, it is the era of the fastball. Again, the good teams that the Blue Jays have had, Jeff, they do one thing. They mash fastballs. So hopefully they correct that and correct it in a hurry.
Sam and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. First of all, I mean, you know, listen, we're playing the tough teams now, and, you know, who knows? I maybe we will help our draft lottery come up. But anyways, what I want to talk about is, you guys talk about how this franchise needs a sense of urgency. I think this franchise needs to learn how to be more cutthroat. Like, I look at a guy like Davis Snyder. Like, why do they keep running him out there? He's going 0 for 3 every game. He has one RBI in his last 32 games. I mean, like, why doesn't this franchise just get more cutthroat? Like, I even look at, like, Don Mattingly. Like, ever since Don Mattingly came here, our offense has plummeted. And I know, listen, obviously I know they're not going to blame Don Mattingly, but, like, just change something. Get more cutthroat.
Yeah, thanks for the call. You know, I think Kevin – well, I'll let Kevin answer. I don't know about more cutthroat, but I will say this. Now, I know it's a small sample size, but I see Nathan Lucas – and I keep scratching my head. This guy's been in the organization for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
I keep scratching my head how Davis Snyder gets all these at-bats and Nathan Lucas is down in AAA. Just keep on keeping on keeping on keeping. Then he comes up here. Again, small sample size, but Kevin, he looks like he knows. He didn't look overmatched tonight. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, Max has had some issues against the left-handed hitter. You know, that's why John sprinkled in some lefties sort of throughout the lineup just to make it a little harder, make it force him to use both sides of the plate. Yeah, I'm with you. Nathan knows sort of how to let it travel, how to lay off a pitcher's pitch, get a pitch that he can drive, stay up the big part of the field, don't overswing. You know, don't have a ton of sting in his bat, but, you know, I'm with you. It's just have an idea that where when you walk to the plate, you can control what you can control, right? It's I have a strength. I'm going to go up, and I'm going to battle to get to my strength. It's just consistently you rarely see that. And to Sam's point, right, there's just not an identity right now at the big league level for the Blue Jays, right?
Great point.
You know, Kevin Gausman, yeah, absolutely. Kevin Gausman had his 14th quality start. Like that. You know, they're sort of doing their job with the rotation. The older guys have went through whatever they were going through. They've sort of, you know, worked through that, and now you're starting to see exactly the way everybody, I think, wanted to see them look. It's just offensively, man, it's like even when they're hitting homers and they're having fun against the bad teams, it's like, I don't know. It's just the identity thing is a big deal, and for me, they just don't have one. Like, it's, are you a good breaking ball hitting team? Not really. Are you a good fastball hitting team? Not really. Do you hit for high average? Not really. Do you get on base a lot? Not really. Like, it's just, they're just blah. Like, they're, you know, you remember, Jeff, the conversation I have with me and you, and you yelled at me like 6 games into spring training, and I said this offense is a snooze fest, and you laughed at me. Remember forever we had the little, like, 15-minute argument about that?
I laughed. I don't believe I yelled at you.
I think that's sort of where they're at, right? I mean, until they get some dudes in here with some chest on their – with some hair on their chest.
With their chest and some chest in their hair?
I'm so frustrated I can't even get the sentence out. It's just, you know, again, it's I don't think it's the players' fault to doing the best they can. It's just sometimes I'm with Sam. Like, you got to be a little quicker with your evaluations. Be true to the player. If the player is, like, one for his last 40, he's obviously having some trouble at the level. Maybe you send him down, let him take a deep breath and figure some things out when the spotlight's not as bright.
Yeah, we also know that this organization doesn't move that quickly.
They don't.
They've got a. I mean, they have a process for everything. I mean, they really do. That's just the way they are. They are a process-oriented organization, and they're not going to do anything quickly. But you know, again, having said that, I mean, this is the same issue they've had for a long time. I want to talk about Kevin Gausman before we go back to the phone lines as well. 40 pitch second inning. Then he retires 10 in a row, finishes strongly. I think his second to last pitch was 96 miles an hour. So again, the velo's there, boy, yep. it's been a trying year for him though, hasn't it? Like he's had to make up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's mechanical, right? I mean, it's how his spring training started. I'm not making excuses for him. He gets paid a lot of money to get a bunch of dudes out. You know, he went through some things, and with the injury. It seemed to me like he had the dead arm for a while, and mechanically with the front leg, right? It was bending. He was falling off to the first base side too much. Now he's finishing over a stiff front leg, which allows him to just sort of stay in his lanes, finish where he's supposed to finish, release the ball the way he's supposed to release the ball, which adds up to having 10 whiffs on 37 split fingers. The average velocity went up a tick tonight at 94 miles an hour. You mentioned it when he needed the extra gear. No matter what pitch it was or inning it was, he had it to go to. You mentioned the 10 he retired in a row, and it's his 14th quality start. I mean, again, it's just too bad with there not being a 100-win team, Jeff. And the Tigers are actually having a chance at the end of the season.
I know.
If only they could have just figured out their bullpen a little bit earlier and had a dude who knew how to hit with Vladdy. Like, boy, man.
Yeah, it would have been a good year not to punt. Let's put it that
Absolutely.
Way. Absolutely. Giacomo in Windsor. What's up, Giacomo?
What's going on, boys? I love the honesty you guys always give us listeners, and you guys are hilarious this week, especially today about the football and the soccer going back and forth. I just want to Nathan Lukes, like, I know he's not obviously part of the future, but I just think it's kind of impressive. I was listening to on the radio today, 700 minor league games. I don't know where he came from, if he got any chances to play from where he came from. You said he's with the Jays 3 years, but I mean
he was with Tampa. I believe he's a Tampa Bay Rays guy originally.
But he doesn't have much, like, in with the Jays, I don't think he's played much in the last 3 years, right? Even though he was up last year for a little bit. But to be in the minor leagues, it's pretty impressive. The guy just keeps wanting to get to the bigs. I just thought, just the only thing really, I don't really have much to say about the game. I just wanted to tell you guys they're awesome, and I always listen. Take care, fellas. Have a good weekend.
Nice.
Appreciate the call. And you, too, have a good weekend. Yeah, Nathan Lukes, you know who first told us about Nathan Lukes is our friend Ben Wagner. We had Ben Wagner on in spring training, and we were just asking him, you know, the question, what have you seen that impressed you? And he said, well, there's a guy named Nathan Lukes here, and, you know, he looks really good, and there are people in the organization who really like him. And I'm just looking at him. Yeah, I mean, he has played in 32 major league games. And how many of those are with the Blue Jays, Jeff? I guess they've all been with the Blue Jays. And before that, he was in Durham and Montgomery, so he was with the Rays, originally a Cleveland Guardians signee. But yeah, I mean, to get back to this. He's a guy that the organization, things that confuse me. He's a guy they kept around for a long time, and it almost seems as if Kevin, as if they always looked over this guy to get somebody else up here.
They were looking for a reason not to call him up. I think that's what your answer is. Yeah, right. I think we remember one time somebody asked the GM about, you know, why you don't call these guys up. And it was his answer was, you know, it's about roster spots. What do you do with the guy that's already on the roster, guy that's already on the 40-man? Like, things like that just doesn't make any sense when, you know, some dudes at the big league level are quite frankly just not getting it done. And you just don't move on from that. What's sort of right in front of you. And just give the next man up, sort of that mentality of, you know, giving that guy a chance. Is he a great player? Probably not. Is he a home run hitter? Probably not. I mean, he just looks like he knows how to have a competitive at bat, throw the base, you know, the barrel at the baseball, stay in the big part of the field. He looks like a 30 doubles guy at the big league level. I mean, you know, I'm not even saying he's a part of the future next year, but it might have been nice to see him a little earlier,
sure.
I think, is everybody's
Absolutely.
Point.
Yeah. Why not? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have lost 3-1 to Max Fried and the Atlanta Braves. They did have the go-ahead run coming to the plate in the ninth inning in the form of George Springer. He struck out, or was struck out by Raisel Iglesias, with runners on the corners. Let's take a break, come back, go back to the phone lines, and hear from the skipper as well. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
close to making a decision in the second inning with.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of, you know, game kind of right there with Olsen. You know, it's that was probably it for him if he didn't get him. But battled back. You know, I think 9 out of 10 he retired after that and gets six innings in. Just kind of a weird inning for him with the walks. Really, you don't really see that too much from Kev. And I thought he came out with really good stuff in the first, and then, you know, a couple ground ball that got through, and then the walks kind of hurt him, but settled back in, and I thought he looked really good after that.
Yeah, he certainly did. That was John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, talking about Kevin Gausman's outing tonight. 40-pitch second inning, then retired 10 in a row, and as we said, finished the night hitting 96 on the gun. And a very odd inning for Kevin Gausman with all those walks, and then, of course, the ball, that little singled brings in runs and really creates an issue for him.
Yeah, you know, again, I think it's a combination of some bad pitching with the three walks. It's the bad luck with the CNI single, you know, and then he started missing some spots with the RBIs he gave up. It's just one of them things, right? For whatever reason, they lost the release point. You know, it looked to me like he's trying too hard. Again, you know, it's like, how dare you get rid of me? I'll prove you. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he forgot that he's a veteran guy. He's been around forever. You know, lock it back in, getting those called strikes, getting them in swing mode at the bottom of the zone. I've been saying that, right? He's a bottom of the zone guy, right? He pitches at the bottom of the zone, gets him to start to swinging at stuff like that. And then he can start elevating, he can start throwing harder. And, you know, and then it looks like it looked the next three innings. So, yeah, I mean, everybody goes through a bad inning. It's how you handle it. And then, he came back from it, gave him a quality start, gave him a chance to win, and just for whatever reason, the offense sort of looks like it always looks.
Let's hear what Kevin Gausman had to say about his outing.
I didn't think my command was very good tonight, so, you know, I wouldn't say anything tonight. But, you know, in the past, it's been command, and that's kind of where it starts and, you know, where it finishes for me. If I can throw my fastball up and down in the zone whenever I need to, it makes my split really, really hard to lay off. And so that's what everybody's trying to do, is to not let the split be as good as it can be. And so, you know, that's been the whole adjustment this year, is kind of trying to find that mix and find that kind of, I guess, magic number of what we were doing last year to kind of get back to being more consistent.
Kevin Gausman talking about his performance tonight and indeed about the whole year. And I think that, you know, we talked a little bit about what it goals for the end of the year and what we're looking for at the end of the year. And I think you see in guys like Kevin Gausman and Chris Bassett, guys who are veterans who clearly didn't sign up to be in last place in the American League East at this point in their careers, but they are trying to finalize some stuff, I guess. They're trying to put a ribbon on the year so that they can go into the offseason feeling as if they've accomplished something, right?
Yeah, I think now that Kevin has went through sort of the moodiness of his velocity of his fastball, he knows now that when it's back to, you know, occasionally that 91, 92 mark, he'll know what he needs to do to get it back to what it was tonight, sitting at 94, a little bit above that. And occasionally when you need a big out, you can rear back and let it eat at 97. So, yeah, like it's kind of nice to just hear a veteran guy be open with how he needs to go out and get dudes out, which is kind of nice to hear. It's sort of lets you inside his head to get a big league hitter out. It's pretty cool.
Let's go to Greg in Niagara Falls. You're on Blue Jays Talk, Greg.
Yeah, how are you tonight, guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention what Buck was also saying. You were saying about Dan and Buck, about the team, how the Phillies and Atlanta, where they're at and where the Jays are at. Also, you're basically, the team's got to start being more honest, too, because Buck was saying that as an organization, or really any organization, you have to basically be honest where you're at. And also, he was mentioning before he went off, was off for a week, that you know, basically they're not contending right now. They're just not. And like Kevin was saying, so they got to start being more honest. And you know, because like you said, Jeff, you've said it. They're obliged to at least put a competitive team on the field. So and one more quick thing about Joe Carter. Everybody talks about Carlos Delgado. Joe Carter did a lot for this team, and I'm 48, Jeff, and I remember. And yeah, Guerrero's better, but he did a lot. And I don't want to keep hearing about Carlos Delgado. Joe Carter did a lot for this team. He was a very good player. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. He was, but Carlos Delgado was a better hitter. Let's just be clear. And Carlos Delgado was homegrown, too. Yeah. And Carlos Delgado played at a time where there were a lot of guys doing what he was doing, but doing a lot of different stuff than he was doing to be able to do what he did, if you know what I mean. And I think we all know what I mean by that. But, yeah, look, Joe Carter, clearly, he's a big part of this history. And you know, Kevin, I mean, the caller's right. You've made this point that you think it's right in front of them what they have to do. And I think I think we all know what this team needs to do to get better next year. I guess the question is, do we trust the front office to do it? Because from my point of view, Kevin, it's been the same thing for the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Look, I think there's a lot more options that don't cost him $700 million. I think that might be the point this year going into the offseason, that they actually do have options that they can go out and get multiple guys to fill in the blanks to make their lineup a little bit stronger at the top end, right? It's, you know, can Springer lead off next year and this team be competitive? It's going to be a tough take. So, yeah, Jeff, I think it's right in front of them. I mean, if you're paying attention and you have money to spend – I don't think there's any excuse.
No, I'm with you on that. 3-1, the Blue Jays have lost to the Atlanta Braves the first game of a three-game series. Game 2 goes tomorrow, same start time, 7:20 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Plessisville and Victoriaville, Quebec. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.